Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text study that I attend at Ballard First with a number of my colleagues is always intriguing, but it operates a week and a half in advance. That means that we looked at this particular text before I left and for Baltimore. And as I prepared to leave, I thought, well, I think I've got my sermon and pretty well in hand. Little did I know, of course, that life and the text have a way of combining and running together, as they should, in such a way that what I thought I was going to say will just remain unsaid. Instead, I hope that what we shared at this time will be of worth. You should know that I attended the IMN and the NALIP conference at the Maritime Institute for Technology and Advanced Graduate Studies. Here in Seattle, they have a branch. It's the Pacific and Maritime Institute, but they have a simulator there for container ships and all kinds of things. They run in courses that are obligated according to Coast Guard regs and such things, that the officers who and crew who serve on the ships and the waterways, and certainly we know about such things, are trained as indeed they should be. So it was a place if you like boats. It's a lot of fun. There are pictures on the wall all over the place. There are all kinds of scale models. There are and sailing ships inside of bottles in the museum. There are and plotting and instruments and navigation tools from all kinds of years that and have actually been used. It's quite a thing. And if you like this stuff, it's just really intriguing. But it's also a reminder of such things of what it is to live on the sea. And as the psalmist says, those who go down to the seas. We know about these things. This is in Seattle. A couple of weeks ago, we had a young man who was in our midst so that he could find a job on a boat headed for Alaska for the summer. Our brothers and sisters, I found out about this from Pastor and Eric, for 86 years, and Ballard, Lutheran, has been having a blessing of the fleet. And the history of that church is so intimately connected with those who go down to the seas that it is unmistakable. I told him that might explain why it smells a little fishy around there at some times. I hope he took that, as I'm sure he will. But as it is, it's not strange. In the church itself has been seen as in nautical themes pointing all the way back to the story of Noah, that we are saved, as it were, in the ship of the church that finds its safe and harbor riding on the very waters that destroy the sin of the world. And yes, in our baptism, we are both put to death and rise up to new life. This particular space here is called the nave, which is not a surprise. It comes from that same root, then, would give us terms of navels, of naval things or nautical things. It's all from the same place. And yes, we are indeed in a ship. But we are reminded that we are not alone. that we ride in this vessel with others. It is when we leave, you will be receiving a letter, if you so desire, from our presiding bishop and Bishop in Eaton, the two pastors, and Reverend Clement of Pinckney, and his associate, and Reverend Daniel Simmons, were both graduates of the Lutheran Theological and Southern Seminary. And the suspected shooter was a member of an ELCA congregation. We do not know who we ride in this boat with, but they are with us nonetheless. Both those who show themselves to be outstanding in people and those who bring along lives hatred and anger, depression, all kinds of things that can destroy a person, either themselves or someone else. And in the midst of this, we have this particular text. I have often seen this as some sort of, or just another miracle text. They complain about Jesus being asleep when he should be taking his turn at one of the oars or handling the rigging with the rest of them, or whatever it might be, and finding their way to safe in harbor. And instead, he's asleep. He should know better than this. But if we read carefully the other parts of the Gospel of Mark, especially and leading up to this, we see glimpses and clues in the third chapter. They were concerned that he didn't even have a chance to eat properly. So many people were coming to him. In another scene, he healed a man on the Sabbath, and as soon as the sun went down, people brought all kinds of the sick and the infirm and those who were in great need to Jesus, that he might heal them as well. It's easy for me to sort of assume that Jesus is not really as we think he is. He's more like Clark Kent. He looks like us, and when he puts on in his glasses, even Lois Lane can't tell who it is. But underneath that, he's got on that strange shirt with the big S, and carrying all kinds of unique and wonderful and powers that completely set him apart from the rest of us. This text says no. He was asleep in the boat because he was exhausted. He had come to the end of his physical strength. As we all know what that is like, we too come to the end of our strength. And let's face it, being a human has its limitations. Our flesh and bone and blood is no match for a bullet. It's no match for the sharp edge sword of a terrorist who takes the head and the life of, and someone who simply claims Jesus as Lord. And yes, at times we wonder, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? And there are those times that we recognize this is a dangerous place to live, with all kinds of disasters and problems and issues that we have to deal with. And we wonder at times, does God even pay attention to this? And Jesus wakes up and calms the storm and then says, "Have you no faith?" Well, maybe not. But at the same time, if we look carefully, we see other things as well. While I was there, there were all kinds of those and pictures on the wall, but there were also the commendations that were given in World War II. We are reminded that even though they were just, quote, just the merchant marine, they too did amazing things. We would not have been able to win the war if we did not have a way to get our goods across the Atlantic and the Pacific to where they needed to be. And there were times that those who went down to the sea in ships in peace found themselves indeed at war. There were stories that were told there. One was the story of a captain of a cruise ship, a passenger vessel, who in crossing the Atlantic in a storm found another ship in grave danger and stayed with that ship for 85 hours in the midst of a North Atlantic storm. And his message to the skipper of the other ship was, "We will not abandon you." There were times that we see these things, that even in the midst of death, God is at work. In the midst of these family members who, in facing this intruder, said, "We forgive you." And I wonder, where does this come from? It comes from one who, hanging on the cross, says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And even though we understand, yes, there is still racism that is active and at work in our world, and we need to be the first to speak out against it. At the same time, when I land in airports in Atlanta and Baltimore and Chicago, I see all kinds of people of all kinds of races working side by side right out there, and they get along just fine. I am reminded that my particular brand of Lutheran is pretty pasty. Maybe it's from all of that flour and sugar and butter that Norwegians eat. I don't know. But I've spent most of my time in St. Paul and North Dakota and in Seattle. And I need to remember that the largest Lutheran church in the world is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. I need to remember that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he was a student at I think he had a teaching position there, and there as well, at Union Seminary in New York, would go with his friend Frank and Fisher, who was black, to the Abyssinian Baptist Church. And there he would listen to Adam Clayton Powell Sr. preach the gospel in ways that he had never heard before and in a style that he had never heard before. And he saw and heard there the story of the people of Israel that matched and connected in such deep ways with the story of an African Americans here in America. Besides that, he loved the gospel music. I am reminded at times that I, as a student at LBI way back in the early 70s, got to know as a chapel speaker the local pastor here at the AME Church. Yes, there are problems. We get into that boat, and some of the people in the boat we might be tempted to throw overboard. Those who have lost their way, those who do become overcome with anger and rage, those who cannot stand the sight of someone else and seated on the seat beside them, and we think there's no place for you in this boat. But Jesus says differently, that everyone has a place in this boat. Yes, the heroes and those who are not so. And we come because God calls us and gives us hope and faith that in the midst of these and difficult days, we too will find hope. We will know what it is when we see love, as others have given their lives that someone else might live. There's times that we are tempted to say the whole world is just going down the drain. But it's not true. God still holds us, and even though at times like God's asleep, God is still there beside us in the boat saying we still have a ways to go. We're not there yet, but we go together in God's direction. God is still the one who guides us, draws us along, and gives us the tools and the strength to do things that we never thought that we could do. Those who find themselves and put into those in places of and being the heroes, they never talk like that's what they set out to do. But they find somehow that they're in that place that God has called them to, and so they just act. I hope that I will never have to preach another sermon after a week like this, but I'm expecting I will. I do not think that we've seen the end of violence. Why I would think so is beyond me. People will still continue to lose sight of God and the call to love one another, and they will still continue to act in violent ways. And certainly, the terrorists who are involved around the world do not seem to be going away at any time soon. We pray for those as well who are faced by such dangers. But at the same time, while we are in this boat, perhaps it would be best to close with Paul's last words in his text, where he says this: "In return, I speak as to children, open wide your hearts also." Amen.